There's an app for that. Interesting. We are starting a new series today and called Apps for Life. And apps are everywhere. You know that? Aren't apps everywhere? Apps. These commercials are everywhere. Apps. How many have ever downloaded an app? Anybody? Okay. Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Apps in life. It's interesting because apps are everywhere. Say that with me. Say apps. Oh, come on. Do better than that. Apps. There we go. Doesn't it feel good? It's one of those words. Apps. It sounds good to say. The Apple App Store back in March celebrated its 25 billion downloads. And just in June later celebrated 30 billion downloads. That's a lot. If you figure it out, it comes to about 80 downloads per person per year. That's a lot, isn't it? I put on Facebook this week during my illness recuperation phase. I put on Facebook, and what we find is that there's about 40 to 50 million downloads per day. And if we look at this, I ask people some of their favorite apps because I wanted to know. Because every once in a while, somebody tells you about that app and you go, oh, I could really use that, don't you? How many have ever said that? There are even Facebook apps. There are apps for Xbox and PlayStation. There are apps everywhere. And so let's look at some of the ones that people said to me. First one, MyFitnessPal. Anybody have MyFitnessPal? Okay, that's to help you get in shape and be healthy and work out. MyFitnessPal and keep track of those things. Another one, which is one of the first apps I downloaded, and I never can figure out how it works, but it is the most awesome app ever, Shazam. Anybody ever have Shazam? You know what you can do with Shazam? If you play music, you hit Shazam and you press the little button and it goes around, and then it'll show you what the name of the song is, who sings it, and you can immediately hit it and download it. Isn't that cool? I mean, I can't understand what my family says after 30 seconds, let alone what a song is. So we have Shazam. It's a really cool app. You guys are going to write these down and be like, oh, I got to download that. I got to download this. And actually, it's gotten so now, if you'll see commercials, you can go ahead and hit Shazam, and it'll show you a whole commercial if you want to do that. This one's new that I didn't know about, and my wife saw it and said, maybe we need to download this one. A Grocery IQ. Anybody have Grocery IQ? It's a grocery list, and it syncs among different phones so that if you're doing the honey-do list and you're at the store and they say, oh, I forgot something, and they click it, they don't have to even talk to you. They can just send it, and you're like, oh, I forgot to get that. I can go back and get the cheese or the milk, right? Isn't that cool? So it intersyncs back and forth. Grocery IQ. This is one that people like because it syncs across everything. Evernote. Anybody have Evernote? Anybody have Evernote? A lot of people love Evernote, I see. Okay, Evernote is one. This is one of my favorites. Gas Buddy. Anybody have Gas Buddy? Gas Buddy is great because no matter where you are, you hit Gas Buddy, you punch the little gas tank in the middle, and it tells you where the cheapest gas is in the area. Everybody's like, I got to get that one, right? You'll drive 5 miles just to get the cheapest gas, won't you? All right? Gas Buddy is really cool. For those of you who like to read, the Kindle app, and you will squint and try to read on your iPhone. I know that'll happen, but Kindle, it's across platforms and Blackberries and other kinds of stuff. My cousin wrote this one down, Wunderlist, or Wunderlist, I guess you could say. Anybody have that one? It's a to-do list, and it syncs across all kinds of different things. Some of you, this is probably your favorite. You've probably played it during church, Words with Friends. Anybody ever play Words with Friends? Okay, there we go, Words with Friends. Write down your favorite famous app, too. I have a question for you. My favorite app is Words with Friends. That's an addictive little game. Melissa and I went back and forth, until I finally beat her, and then I quit. This one was a pastor friend of mine wrote called On Song. Does anybody here have On Song? I'd never heard of it, but I told Wayne about it. It has... it's like for worship teams, and it has a whole, you can download your whole list of praise and worship songs so that if you get, so you have digital stands, you can send it from your phone to all the stands and change, and you can send people out lists, and you don't have to carry around big files. You just zip it out, and there it is. So it's a really cool, deal. Many of you may have heard of this over the last month or so, thanks to our Christmas time, rediscovering Christmas, as well as I put the last couple weeks at the bottom of the bulletin, a Plan YouVersion. Anybody have YouVersion? It's about a billion different Bibles, and you can carry things that you used to have shelves, that ministers used to have on shelves that made you look really intelligent, even if you never read one. You know how the books all look good and they made you look intelligent? Now it's all in the palm of your hand, and you can take it with you anywhere. Translation after translation from a church called lifechurch.tv. And let me just, what are some other your favorite apps? Anybody have any different ones that you wrote down? Favorite apps? Anybody have some other ones? Yeah. Goodread. Okay. Goodread. It's a reading. Oh, cool. Cool. Goodread. There we go. What, anybody else? Yelp. Anybody have Yelp? Okay. What else? Angry Birds. Yes, my son is addicted to Angry. Isn't that cool? These guys took Pong to a new level, or Breakout. Wasn't that what it was? Breakout. You just break stuff. They put little birds and made little songs, and put pigs in there. And now it is a multi-million, maybe billion-dollar company. My son has every single stuffed Angry Bird, and those things are not cheap. I'll just let you know. I mean, marketed it amazingly. Anybody else? What? Pinterest. That's one that people are really thrilled with. Anybody else? Fast food? Okay, great, great. So there's several different apps. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day who, actually several years ago, who was talking about when they were riding down the road around me. You ever seen Around Me? I'll tell you what's around you, and also you can find your friends too, where they're around you. And they said they were looking, they were in New York City, and they were looking, and they clicked something. They said, oh, so-and-so's here, and nearby, because they checked in, and they clicked on them, and they said, hey, where you at? And they went and had lunch together. How many times has that happened in life, and we just don't know, but because we have this techno-savvy nature, here we are. Let me share with you, I want to share with you two apps that probably you have been involved with before, and I just want to share with you the power of the apps. This one, Draw Something. Anybody ever played Draw Something? The company, Draw Something, they had put out several apps that were unsuccessful. And last year, right before they put out Draw Something, the company had $1,700 to $1,800 left in their business account. That's not a lot of money for a business account, am I right? In other words, they were winding down to going bankrupt, and they released Draw Something. Almost immediately, they began to receive checks for $200,000 a day from an app. Yes, $200,000 a day. They sold it to Zynga. Those of you who play Farmville know what Zynga is. And Zynga bought Draw Something for $180 million. Boy, that's turning it around good, isn't it? All to play Pictionary on your iPhone, right? It's amazing. Let me share with you this next one. Instagram. How many of you ever used Instagram? Instagram. Really, really cool. It's a free application where you take pictures. They have filters and make it look really good, and you plop them on, and you can share pictures across all kinds of genres. But the interesting thing about Instagram is this. Instagram, last year, about May or June, was bought by Facebook for $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion. Now, do you know how many employees worked for Instagram? Anybody want to guess? 13. I think I could make $1 billion divide about 13 people go for a long time. Isn't that amazing? So every time you take a picture, it's going now to Facebook, but they paid $1 billion for a free app. You know, we have so many favorite apps, and there's so many apps that are out there. And, you know, not to sound ridiculous or anything, but apps is short for what? Applications. And as I began to think that the Bible is the original app store. Think about it. Because there are several. Every application or app for life is contained in the Bible. And so what we are going to do over the next several weeks is we're going to deal with things, issues that we have, and I'm going to share there's an app for that. Okay, and that's what we're going to share, the several. So we're going to download from the Scripture some apps for life over the next few weeks. The Bible truly is the original app store. So what I want you to do, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open them. We're going to be in James chapter 1. If you don't, it'll be up here on the screen, or I placed, we have the verses placed in your bulletin. And so I'd ask you to follow along. And here we go. We're going to look at this first verse from James chapter 1, verse 22. I know you're all exhausted. Did you realize that at the point right before the Ravens scored the tying touchdown to go into overtime, that percentages, Denver had a 97.8% chance of winning that football game? Goes to show you, right? Never know. Yeah, lot of prayer and a lot of bad coverage will get you right there. So congratulations, Ravens. Us Eagles fans will be jealous from afar. And that's why we're going to talk about jealousy today, some too. All right? Look at this scripture from James chapter 1. We'll begin with verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Let's stop there. Do what it says. Now let's look at this again. What I want you to do, if you have your Bibles and you have a pen, just underline this, or if you want to do it in your sheet, go ahead and do this. I want you to underline, merely listen, or highlight, or circle, or whatever. It's okay. If you were told that you can't write in your Bible, that's wrong, okay? But go ahead and do it. Do not merely listen. Circle merely listen. And then also circle, underline, whatever. Deceive yourself. Deceive yourself. What we see here in this first part is James is telling us something that happens every Sunday in every church in the United States and around the world, but particularly in the United States, where we merely listen. What James is telling us is something specific. When we merely listen, that equals deceiving ourselves. Isn't that what he says there? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Merely listening means deceive yourself. In the American church, predominantly, merely listening, and in all walks of life, merely listening has been like I get extra credit. Whether it's in school, I've had students that said, oh, well, I've been here and I've been listening, but you've done no work, okay? It doesn't matter, right? Am I right? You need to apply, oh, there's that word. You need to apply yourself to what happens. And what James is telling people is exactly what I think is a problem. Many people in the American church believe that if we just listen, then we are spiritual. Oh, I've listened? Okay. That we get credit for listening. And here's another thing. If the pastor is really good that week and makes me feel really guilty, then I really am spiritual at this point. You know what I mean? You ever left church? Like, you can hear that when you people say, whoa, man, that was a good sermon. Ooh, you were stepping on my toes this week. Woo, boy, do I feel horrible. Okay, I'm good for the rest of the week. We've all done that, haven't we? Anybody want to admit? I have. I've been to conferences where a pastor will say something, and all the pastors will go, whoa, oh, whoa, and then they go right back doing the same thing again. You know, merely listening deceives us, according to James. You know, one of the things that, you know, whether it seems like it or not, I really try to work very hard on providing what God wants me to provide and really give the message. And as I'm going through it, it's preaching to me all week. And when I get to this point, I've realized in almost 20 years of ministry that I started when I was one. I realized that in almost 20 years of ministry, that in each of those weeks that I have preached what God has wanted me to do, laid it out, and I've had people really hear what God says to them and then leave and do nothing about it. Time and time and time and time and time again. They'll nod their heads, they'll shout praises, they'll raise their hands, they'll say, they'll scream, hallelujah. I've been in churches where they'll say, bless you, Lord, and call each other brother and sister. And then as soon as they walk out the door, they haven't applied 1 ounce of the word of God. In other words, they're doing what James chapter 1, 22 says. They merely listen and don't apply and then deceive themselves. But there's another part to all this, right? There's another part to this. Another part, let's look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. What is that last part of the sentence? What does it say? Do what it says. That's called what? Application. There's an app. Now, wait a second. We say, wait a second, Jack, you know, I've been moved by what I hear. I'm excited by what I hear. But if I really apply it, you know, that's going to mess some stuff up in my life. Doesn't it? You know, when I first got a cell phone, I realized it messed stuff up in life. Do you remember what it was like to be in your car by yourself and no one could find you? Do you remember that? You were free, you know? Like you know, you didn't even realize the glass was there. You could pick your nose if you wanted to. You didn't care what anybody knew, okay? You know what I mean? You were free. Nobody could get you. When you went to and from. You didn't go to the car talking to someone, put it on the hands-free, and talk to someone all the way there, and then when you're done, talk to somebody else. Remember that? You were free. Now you're not. That messed some stuff up in my life. You know what I mean? Everybody could get me whenever they wanted to. Now, when we don't answer the phone, we just don't answer the phone. Am I right? Now we caller ID is messed up our lives because now we know who's calling us, and now we have to make that choice to answer or to not answer. Am I right? How many of you have ever done that? You see that and you're like, oh, the preacher's calling. I am definitely not answering that. I haven't been in church in a while. No, he's not going to answer. You know, we have to get creative. We have to come up with several different numbers to go ahead and call people. And like, oh, hey, how are you? I've been meaning to get back to you. Okay? We've done that now, haven't we? How many of you have at least 3 telephone numbers? Okay, I do. Google phones and all kinds of other things. How many have about at least 3 emails? Okay, exactly. It will mess stuff up when we take apps and apply to us. That grocery app will mess me up something fierce. Because guess what? I'm going to forget something on that list. And I'm going to have absolutely no excuse for it. And when I walk in the door, it's going to mess me up really good. You know what I mean? We have these kind of things that mess us up. And, you know, during this series, I want you to be here. I want you to really be here so we can understand. You know, believing in what is said is great, and being here is great, but application makes all the difference in the world. It's the change area of our lives. One of my favorite apps is the XM Sirius app, because I can take it anywhere I go. I haven't listened to a radio station that has faded out in years, and I love it, unless it's sports talk. Remember when you had to, you know, I like crystal clear. That's how we like things now, and I can take it in my phone now. No matter where I am, we need to do what it says according to what James says. But James doesn't stop there. James continues on, and the reason why he says that is because doing what it says leads to a blessed life. Not just listening, but doing what it says leads to a blessed life. He continues in verse 23 and 24. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and then after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, do you know what you look like? How many of you know what you look like? Anybody forgot? You know, we have in our lives what are called oh-wow moments. And everybody here had one this morning. An oh wow moment is where you stand in front of the mirror in the morning after you got out of bed and you go, oh wow. How many had that moment this morning? Now, I wanted to really share that with you because one of the things the leadership team and some people in the praise team, some people in the church, I sent out a text and I said, I like using sermon illustrations, so I'd like for you guys to share with me your oh wow morning moments. Okay, let's take a look at some of them. Let's go with the first one. This is in the Cohen-Forsman household here. Oh wow, right? Morning oh wow. There's number one. In the Stiles household, oh wow. Stephen looks like he's ready to say, you know, are you going to pay up? You know, we're going to send him out when you miss your payments for the building. Okay, we're going to send him out to your, doing a, oh wow, right? All right. Tom, oh wow. And many of you know Fred, who sings, oh wow. And he grabbed his daughter Eden in and used her as well. That's an oh wow moment, huh? At least he's got the toothbrush, right? Oh wow. And here's Tommy and Wayne. We put them together. Oh wow. Good morning. And then just so I can add to the rest of it, the Cohen oh wow. I had the morning Gumby cut going on there, for those of you who remember that. You know, see the hair like that. Now, not one of those people that I put up there today looked at the mirror. I mean, this is what James is saying. He's saying that you wake up and you go, whoa. And then you turn around and go, ready to go to church. Not one of us did that. How many of us showered, brushed our teeth, sprayed our hair, brushed, you know, did floss this, pulled that, tucked this, taped that? I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? We all see that oh wow moment, whoa, and we do something about it. Am I right? Even if it's like, you know, even if it's just doing a deodorant bath, who knows? We saw the oh wow and said, I need to do something. Am I right? And this is what James is saying to us. None of us gets up and looks in the mirror and say, good enough, and puts on our clothes and walks out the door. Not one of us. Anybody here do that today? You want to share? And we'll watch the whole area move from you, okay? I've gotten showers right before I go to bed, gone to bed, wake up and look at that in the morning and go, oh, wow. Jump back in the shower, clean everything else up. You know what I mean? When I see that, I need to do something about it. It's scary. And when you see that, it kicks us into a gear to fix what is wrong. The best we can. All right? If you don't believe me, think of the products where those pictures are taken and when you had your oh wow moment that are all over your countertop or in your vanity. How many of you have toothpaste? Hopefully that's everyone, okay? How many have deodorant? Thankfully. How many of you have a hairbrush? Some of us don't need one, right? How many of you have hair gel, hairspray, some kind of hair product? How many of you washed your hair? How many have soap? Soap's a wonderful thing, isn't it? How many shave legs or face or both? I don't know. Maybe at the same time, who knows, you know? We have all these products so that we can take the oh wow and make it to, oh, that's better. Because we see the problem and we want to fix it the best that we can. I will tell you, I've known people that you travel with. How many of you have like your travel kit, your travel I'm going to fix myself up kit? And sometimes it's like a whole other suitcase that you put in there. And people will freak out if they don't have like the right hair dryer or the right brush. And I mean, I have bought so many brushes. When I had girls, I didn't know that you could buy that many brushes in life and lose that many brushes. And one of the things I hate more than anything are those hair things. Doesn't matter whether the ones that are semicircle that pull here or the ones that are the little round ones that are all over the floor all the time. You know what I mean? and I'm just like, can we start off the new year by moving this off the front door? You know, I mean, that's just where I am in these kind of things. The bottom line is, when there is an issue, we need to fix it. And what James is telling us is we have, oh, wow, spiritual moments. And the oh, wow, spiritual moment is the Bible is a mirror. It's our morning mirror to our life. That when we look and we get into the Word of God, we go, oh, wow. Wait a second. I do have a problem with what I say out of my mouth. Well, wait a second. I do have an issue with anger. Oh, wow. Oh, wow, maybe I need to invest in God's kingdom more with my time and my finances. Oh, wow. Wow, maybe I need to share my faith more with my friends. Oh, wow. Maybe I shouldn't be as depressed as I am. Oh, wow. That's what the Bible is. It's that morning, oh, wow. And that's what James tells us. James says that if we don't, if we just hear and don't apply, then we're just like getting up in the morning, looking and going, oh, wow, and turning around and just coming to church or going to work or going to school. We're no better than that. The Bible is a mirror to self-clear ourselves with the Word of God. Many times we have that oh, wow moment, though, from the Scripture, and we just turn away and move on. Look at what it says in the Scripture from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, it's printed in your bulletin. And it says, for the Word of God is active and alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates in dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the hearts and attitudes of the heart. The reason why we have the oh wows when we get in the Scripture is because it knows us. It searches us. The Spirit of God connects to us and goes, and we go, ooh, oh wow. You know, when we don't look in front of the mirror, we can go a lot of places. Can't we? If we didn't have a mirror, we'd say, I must look good. We just walk out. We never know. So, in dealing with that today, I just want to kind of kick off this sermon series with a brief thing, something that I've dealt with in my life, and I guarantee you you've dealt with in your life and may still deal with, and it's called jealousy. And a lot of us like to think that jealousy is something that we deal with as kids. And in order to do that, I want to share with you four symptoms of envy and jealousy, of an envious and jealous person. And we're just going to spend some time there. We're going to move on, call it a day, and so you can see who the Ravens are playing next week, okay? The first thing that I want to share is that when we see the oh, wow moments and we never apply it, here's one of these. Week one, jealousy. Envy and jealousy. None of us like to admit that we are an envious or jealous person, do we? Anybody want to say, you know, I'm one of the most jealous people that have ever existed? None of us like to admit that at all. And this is something that I constantly work at and have worked at in my life to minimize and come close to removing many places, although it loves to rear its ugly head in the weirdest points in time. So here's four symptoms. The first thing is, the first symptom of an envious, a jealous or envious person is they are quick to point out the faults of other people. A jealous or envious person. And here's how you can tell that. Because they'll go, you know, it's not that I'm jealous, but. You know, it's not that I don't like them, but. You know, I know that they're doing this and this in the church, but. It usually has, blah, 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 but. You know what I mean? And we do that. You know, or it could be even, it could be at work, family. It could be like, you know, I like his new wife, but. We have that but in there. And many of us have said that and listed that and utilized that in times in our lives. And a jealous person loves to point out the faults of someone else. For instance, we'll say, you know, wow, I think it's awesome that Ray Lewis is quoting Scripture. But remember when he was on trial for murder? I've heard several people say that. but remember, but I haven't even said that because I don't like the Ravens. But I did say, hey, I am proud of him. He is a class guy, you know, and he talks about the grace of God. So, you know, there's always that but that we have that's associated with there. So that's number one. Number two, the second symptom of an envious and jealous person is they are threatened by the success of other talented and popular people. They are threatened by the success of other talented and popular people. I want to tell you, this is something that I found in my life. You are often more jealous of people who do what you do. Let me say it again. You are often more jealous of people that do what you do. For instance, I'm not jealous of a politician. I'm not a politician. I'm not really jealous of rock stars, because I'm not a rock star. In my life, I've been jealous of other pastors. Whoa, wait a second. Did you say that? Yeah. You know, because you'll hear somebody and you're like, wow. And I'll tell you how you can find out you're jealous of other pastors. When you see their attendance posted on Facebook from their Easter and Christmas services, and it's like quintuple what you had, you know what I mean? And you're like, ah, that's great for the kingdom. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, how many do you have? I had, but you know, last year, you know, we go with that, and like you'll be some places, and you know, I've been places before in my life, and you'll have people ask and say, they'll say, we're gonna ask somebody to speak at something, and it's a special event. I remember in seminary, we're gonna have certain people speak, and I'm thinking, surely they're gonna pick me. Who else are they gonna pick? I've heard the rest of these bums. You know what I mean? We go through that, and then all of a sudden they pick somebody else, and you're like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? You may do that in your own work. Am I right? You're jealous of other people that do what you do. You get envious. And it's not right. It's not right at all, is it? It's not right. There's nothing right about it. But I think I'm honest that I get that way, and so do you. In our lives where we see these certain things. So that's one of the things. We are jealous and threatened by the success of others. And I've worked hard in that to the point where I try to celebrate some of that with them. And we'll talk about that in a bit. Number three, jealous and envious people measure their success in terms of other people's failures. Jealous people measure their success in terms of other people's failures. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? But it's so easy to do, isn't it? I've seen this and experienced this in life. For instance, guys, you have a friend. They come up with this incredible car. You don't know how they afforded it, but they got it. And then you found out 2 weeks down the road that they had a fender bender and tore up the whole front, and you go, oh, that's horrible. Right? You been there? Ladies, you go to your high school reunion, and you see that girl, and you're like, she don't look too good. Am I right? I mean, I did it too, guys. I went to my high school reunion, and I was looking around. I'm like, dang, I don't look so bad. I can't wait for this one. I mean, I've lost 30 pounds since then. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm going to be like strutting stuff around. You know what I mean? I look good, you know. But isn't that what we do? Or you see that fellow parent that has everything all together, and then you see them and you realize they don't, and then you're like, how you doing? You like go out of your way to see them in the mall. How you doing? How you good to see you? You know what I mean? There's something in us in this jealous that we measure our success. We feel better about ourselves when somebody else is rock bottom. That's a jealous person. Maybe a job, maybe somebody, a coworker, got a job that you were supposed to get. and they did miserable at it, and they failed, and they were fired, and you're like, oh, that's too bad. Right? So many times we do that. You see, it's wrong. It demotes the person's value, and it robs us of our joy when we're constantly on this manner to go ahead and rejoice in other people's failures. It's not what God had intended for us at all. Number four, the last symptom, a jealous and envious person carries a spirit of comparison. They compare everything. They compare houses. They compare cars. They compare kids' toys. They compare hairstyles. They compare, you name it. Compare, 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 compare. And comparison is the worst thing that can possibly happen in order for this. You know, I've known people who've stopped talking because one person has more friends on Facebook than the other person. Isn't that ridiculous? But if you compare anything and you get to the point where you're comparing Facebook friends, you're in trouble. You know, how many of you have ever had the best television ever? You remember those big wooden TVs that sat in the floor and took 80 men and a mule to move? What were they called? Console. And they had the speakers in them, and CB Joe sold them. That's telling you how old you are if you remember CB Joe here, right? And they had them, and they were ancient. And if you had one of them, that was like the big screen before the big screens. And then that neighbor or that friend of yours got the one, the projection TV that flipped out and had the blue, red, and green and had the guns that weighed 45 pounds. Remember those? Anybody remember those? The big screen, they were big and they fell. Or then you had the big projection ones like this. And then somebody bought an HD TV. And you're like, I don't like this television anymore. Look at it. It's, you know, and we rejoice when it breaks. Woo, it broke. You know, we really need another one. So you run out and you buy an LCD TV. But guess what? Then your friend buys an LED 3D. And you go, this television stinks. You know, they got a deal at Best Buy. If you just give up your first child, you can have it. We've got five, you know? Don't we do this? We do it time and time and time again. That's envy and jealousy in our lives. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. We're just not content in our circumstances. You know why? Because we haven't applied contentment to our lives. We've applied jealousy and envy and desire and want to our lives. What we find is we have issues, don't we? And we need an app for that. If we compare, we end up being prideful or envious. And before we get our phones out and say, man, I really wish so-and-so was here to hear this sermon, I am going to have to text so-and-so the link on Wednesday to make sure they have this because they know that. We need to look at ourselves and say, do we have an envious and jealous heart? Do we? Are we quick to point out other people's faults? Are we threatened by the success of other popular and talented people? Do we measure success by their others' failures? And do we have a constant spirit of comparison? I remember when we first started having kids, we had this one friend that we hung around with, and if we bought something, they bought something. And it was constant that, and it was the exact same thing, and it was just like, do we have to do this? You know? Or we say, or even going back to say, I like their house, but really I don't like this. You know? I mean, there is this nature that exists in us. But there is good news, and the good news is there's an app for that. Say that with me. There is an app for that. And as we look in the scripture, there is an app for that. The app for that is celebration. Celebration cleanses the jealous heart and envious heart. Celebration. When we celebrate with each other the things that happen. When I first started out as a pastor, I followed a pastor that The majority of the people didn't like, so it was good. But before them, there was a pastor, two in front of me, who was a pastor that everybody liked, Don Godwin. Don was just awesome. And Don was there the longest. And I heard about Don from the time I walked in the door. Don Godwin, Don Godwin, Don Godwin. And, you know, when I first heard about that, I was like, who's this Don guy? And I met him before, and he seemed like an all right guy. And I was like, Don. And, you know, it was an opportunity. I remember this one opportunity, somebody said to me, hey, you know, we'd like to get our child baptized or christened or whatever. They probably said get our kid done, because that's what people say. Medium well, rare, something like that. And I said to them, and they said, oh, I said, okay. They said, do you mind if Don Godwin comes and does it? You can be there too. Oh, thank you. You know what I mean? And at that moment, there was this moment where I was like, and I remember the previous pastor had been like, no, he's gone. Ouch. But I had learned enough, and God was just seeing my heart. I said, yeah, I like Don. Why not? I said, sure, I'll call him. I said, and Don came in, and he said, hey, thanks, you know. I was like, hey, no problem. And Don and I are very close to this day, very close today. He was, actually, when I went through my whole thing with UMC, he was somebody who was on the board of ordained ministry. At any time they'd have a meeting, he'd bring up and say, we did not do right by him, we're wrong, and he'd bring it up time and time again. And he's a good guy, and I'm going to probably have him preach here one day because he's just an awesome guy, okay? And Don and I became really close, and when I began to pray for him and recognize that we're not at odds, but we are together in this thing of building up the church, it's been an awesome relationship. I can call Don and talk to him about anything. He was also a nurse, and when Melissa was thinking about nursing, she called and spoke with him for 45 minutes, an hour, and he gave from his heart. He was my parents' pastor until he retired and ministered to them time and time again after they retired. Formed a great relationship. To this day, I call him a good friend. You see, when we begin to celebrate each other's ministries and not look at tearing each other down and being this jealous thing, then God does something awesome. That's the good news. Celebration cleanses the jealous heart. And what did Jesus have to say about this application? So when we feel jealous, celebrate. When I see the person and they look better than they did in high school, don't get jealous about that. Celebrate it. If you say, hey, you look good, celebrate it because they do. If they have a nice car, celebrate it because it is. If they've got a new job, celebrate with them because it's a good thing. Don't be jealous. Because that frees us when we celebrate together in the body of Christ. Am I right? There is an app of celebration that we have in our lives if we just apply it from the Word of God. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 about applications. He said, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, home improvements to your standards of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like the smart carpenter. There's that apply. If you apply these into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the rivers flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved the house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who builds his house on a sandy beach. When the storm rolled in, the waves came up, and it collapsed like a house of cards. You see, last week I made a promise to you that I was going to speak more boldly, and I want you to test me on that. And part of the things that we test is I want you to really apply it. Take the words that God has and apply it to your life. If you have jealousy that rears its head this week, I want you to add that app of celebration. You may not feel like it. You may be like, but just celebrate with him and see what happens to you. Free yourself from jealousy and envy. That's all who it takes care of. You see, I think this is a great way to work together. We're going to go to communion, our first communion of the new year. And Bobby, I'm going to ask if you have some of the ladies from the Bible study. We need six people, some ladies from the Bible study to be servers. And what I want to recognize is that Jesus Jesus had a lot of people who were jealous of him to the point that they wanted to kill him. Religious leaders of the day. But Jesus said, gave thanks to God, and he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat this, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup, he blessed it, he gave thanks to God and said, "Blessed are you, Lord God, creator, ruler of the universe, that gives us fruit of the vine that we may have drink." And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So God, in remembrance, one of the things we recognize in communion is we are broken people. I saw a bishop one time who the church was dealing with some major issues, and he had a communion cup, and he took it, and he just smashed it on the podium, on the stage. People looked and said, maybe too much coffee, or I don't know. But it broke, and he said, "We are a broken church." And what I want to say to you today without breaking stuff is we're a broken people in our lives. Maybe not as a community here, but we're broken. We're jealous people. We're angry people. We're frustrated people. We're depressed people, aren't we? And yet Christ wants to bring a wholeness to us, I believe, that we've never even seen before. He said, "I came that you may have life and have it to the fullness or the abundant." I want that, don't you? I'm tired of living half full lives. Halfway.